to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 22nd, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning. Across all these many time zones, mostly morning, I suppose. Though in the west, from the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands, where it's still early evening, we zoom all the way across this nation to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Good morning, St. Thomas. Down into South America, north to the pole. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Good to be with you. In fact, great to be with you. Here comes yet another week of talk radio and the unexpected. Always the unexpected. All right. CNN reported at 9 o'clock on Newsnight that preliminary tests indicate there was an explosive device on board TWA Flight 800. They said it is not conclusive. They said it was detected near, on a wing piece, near the baggage compartment. Now here's where it begins to get a little interesting. Later reports in the last hour or so have the NTSB denying that report. Now, either it's true or it's not true. Did they or did... This is not... I mean, detection of explosive residue on a piece of the airplane has either been done or not done. Why is this controversial? With all we don't know about this whole mystery, this possible crime, why is it that we have to be unsure about the results of the testing? Can anybody explain that to me? Now, I think it was a bomb. I've always thought so since the beginning, as you know. Or possibly a missile. I would say bomb, biggest probability. Missile, second probability. Structural failure or engine failure or something, catastrophic, third and very slim possibility. So I am fairly convinced that this is some sort of terrorism. Now, there was a day that this question never, ever would have been asked. But I will ask it. Assuming that this turns out to be a terrorist act, assuming that they do finally determined that there was an explosive on the airplane, or that it was downed with a missile. One of the two. Do you think it's more likely foreign or domestic terror? And there was a day in America where even to ask such a question about Americans would be heresy. But of course, that day is long now, I'm sorry to say, gone. And it is a reasonable question. Which would you think more likely, domestic or foreign terrorism? I've not heard anybody really ask that, and maybe that's because there has not yet until this moment been this kind of a report from CNN. But that is what occurred to me, along with the same thing I thought last week. Why are people killing for nothing? I'll keep saying this until I turn blue in the face. Put yourself in the position of a terrorist. You hate the United States. Whether you're foreign or domestic, you hate our government. You think our government is oppressive. They killed people at Waco. You're a foreign person who hates the U.S. for some kind of intervention that we have done. We are the devils. You know, I won't go through the whole litany. Either way, if you fire a missile, put a bomb on an airplane, kill a lot of innocent people, without claiming credit beforehand, so the authorities full well know what you have done, without claiming credit, what have you done? Nothing. Nothing. Now, hard as it is to understand terrorism at any level, and certainly you never condone it, at least when there is a claim of responsibility and it's the so-and-so Third Friday organization from some country or even here in the U.S., there is a reason for it. Release the 17, the Kuwait 17. Remember that? Get out of Bosnia. Withdraw the federal jackbooted blah, 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 you know. There would be some sort of something. But why kill for no reason? Why kill innocent people with no apparent motive? That I can't put that together in my mind. To me, that becomes quickly part of what I call the quickening. Bob Dole, 73 years old for about less than an hour now. His birthday is today. And his report, his health report is good. Blood pressure is low. Cholesterol is low. And so forth. Now, they came out with a survey that said 4 out of 10 Americans over 65 years of age say they are worried about that. That Dole is 73. That it would be an obstacle to his being an effective president. I thought about that. 4 out of 10 Americans. Well, why not report a poll that says 6 out of 10 Americans over 65 say they're not worried about Bob Dole's age? Now, here is a case where I really do question the validity of a poll. Wouldn't you normally report the majority of a poll's opinion as opposed to the minority of a poll's opinion? Now, maybe he is too old. I don't know. But if the fact is 6 out of 10 Americans over 65 say they're not worried, then that would be the thing to report. But no, the press goes after the 4 out of 10 think, well, there might be a problem here. They interviewed Sam Nunn on Meet the Press. Was it Meet the Press? Yes. And they asked him, might he switch parties and join with Bob Dole? And there was a catch, a moment, a flash of a second, where Sam Nunn, you could see that the door was not open, but the door was ajar. Now, you had to watch very carefully, and it was just, you know, a flash of a second. But for a second there was a catch. I don't know. Those of you who saw it know what I mean. Those, maybe. Those who did not would not. But, you know, I had a kind of a feeling that Sam Nunn might be open to such a possibility. He's roundly criticized regularly by Democrats and Republicans alike. Third party, if our current two major parties continue on their present course, how many of you would join enthusiastically a third party? In my opinion, Bob Dole and Bill Clinton are both not going to tell us the truth. The truth about Social Security, where it's headed. The truth about the interest on our national debt, both of them are not going to touch either one of these subjects. And I notice once again, with Bill Clinton out campaigning, he has once again dredged up welfare as an issue. He always does that. Whenever Bill Clinton gets hot under the collar from a campaign point of view, he dredges up and talks about welfare. By the way, back to the TWA 800 business. They have lost, this is very interesting, they have lost the black box transponder signals. Now, there were brand new batteries in the black boxes, so two of them, generally. And there was, actually it was pinging. It's to be picked up, I believe, by sonar, and there was a ping issued, and they had it originally. Right after the crash, now it's gone. They may not need it to determine this was an act of terror at any rate. By the way, CNBC has just reported that 8,000 people in Japan, 8,000, have come down with E. coli poisoning. That's very serious. 8,000 people. 5 dead so far in the present E. coli outbreak in Japan. And they've got trucks going through the street with loudspeakers warning people about it. One more item. I really like Sam Nunn, I guess you know. I've always liked Sam Nunn. And they asked him a question that I thought I would ask you. God, it's a good question. Just sort of a good, general, perhaps insightful, fun question. And that is the following. What is it that you now know about life that you wish you had known 20 years ago? Isn't that an interesting question? And I wonder how you would answer it. What is it that you now know about life that you wish you had known 20 years ago? And I've been considering my answer ever since I saw the interview the other day. All right, look, what we're going to do basically is open lines. Tomorrow night, Vincent Bugliosi, I think I'll try to get it right by tomorrow night, Bugliosi. The G is silent. There you go. Bugliosi. Vincent Bugliosi. So we'll get it. But he will be here tomorrow night. And he has recently written a book about the O.J. Simpson trial. Believes he could have been convicted. It is number one on the bestseller list right now. And we'll talk to him about that. And he promised to talk to me about Charlie Manson as well, something that I have been interested in for a very long time. A swarm of earthquakes in Hawaii related to volcanic action, apparently, there. We'll have to see what comes of that, if anything. There has been a 7.0 earthquake, very strong, as a matter of fact, 7.0, near the coast of Indonesia. Just thought I would note that one for you. And Charlie Duke, 10th Amendment, Charlie Duke, senator from Colorado, is now investigating the strange and bizarre State Senator Charles Duke. A skeptic when he first heard about the goings-on at Steve Lee's Black Forest home, is no more a skeptic. He now agrees something is amiss. Lee, 37, a former trucker, says most officials have ignored him when he complained his home is plagued with voices and odd smells. His van and truck polluted with chemicals. And armed people are entering a neighbor's doghouse. What? That's right. He says the problem is biological and laser weapons testing carried out by the federal government. There are things happening that defy explanation about his house, according to Duke. He has asked the FBI to investigate. He says, I went over there with a lot of skepticism. The GOP legislator was persuaded after he took some photos, get this now, inside Lee's home, even though he didn't see or hear anything unusual at the time, but was surprised when, guess what? One picture shows what appears to be a light beam, he said. Another one has cloud-like images of what is clearly a dog and then a human face. Now, this is Charlie Duke. He said, it's really bizarre. I was shocked. I'm not a believer yet. But certainly there is something going on there. I don't believe in ghosts, and neither does Mr. Lee. He's just trying to get someone to listen to him. So I guess Senator Duke is indeed listening. Interesting, huh? All right, it's going to be open lines. Oh, two other little items. One, Linda Howe and myself, covertly, because of the very nature of the tests that were performed. As a matter of fact, there are only about three or four locations capable of doing the kind of testing we did, split the cost, Linda and I split the cost, of doing the testing on Art's parts. And it's some very serious testing. And she had those results on Dreamland yesterday. And after the midnight hour, or in the next hour, I will repeat that segment for you. I think you'll find it more than just a little interesting. I did. By the way, the tests were conducted at the Carnegie Institute, Washington, D.C. So. Now, once again, I want to ask this question. I thought this is one of the best questions I've ever heard. And it was asked of Sam Nunn Sunday. What is it that you now know about life that you wish you had known 20 years ago? And I will give one answer. I wish I had known what I now know about women, the nature of women. Now, that's not to say that I know a lot now, because I don't. In fact, the more one learns, the more one realizes one doesn't know about the gentler sex, and never will. However, there is increased amounts of wisdom that a man who is receptive to it can begin to assimilate. And had I had that information then, life would have been a lot easier for me. Let me put it that way. But anyway, it's a grand question, and I think I might have time for somebody before we take a break at the bottom of the hour. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Is this Art Bell?
It is, and you are my first caller for the week.
Fantastic. I'm delighted to get through. I enjoy your show tremendously. I'm calling. This is Anthony from San Diego, California. And Art, I have a question that I think you might know the answer to, or some of your listeners. And the question is, about 15 years ago, I had heard about a book. And the name of the book was called We Never Went to the Moon. I saw it on PM Magazine, which was, it's a magazine type show.
Yep.
I don't believe the premise for a second. I never read the book, but I was wondering if you were familiar with it and whether or not any of your listeners may be. The author...
No, we never went to the moon.
We never went to the moon.
No, no, the whole thing was done out here in the desert.
Was it done out in Parump?
Not far from where I am.
Well, I saw the guy interviewed. Have you ever heard of the title by
sure.
By the way?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure whether or not the author was any way connected with the space program or whether he was just a Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
He was.
Hollywood, yeah.
And did he make the circuit of the... See, talk radio wasn't that big 15
years. That's really true. And you've got to remember back to the final Apollo mission.
Right.
Where at the end, where they ran the credits...
Yes.
You had to watch very carefully at the end where they ran the credits, because the whole area out here near Pahrump was mentioned. Yeah, sure, this is where it occurred, sir. No, we never went to the moon. Never, never, never. Only in our minds. Legends in space in our own minds. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 22nd, 1996.
CNN reporting that indeed they have detected chemical traces indicating there was an explosive device aboard TWA Flight 800. Later reports are saying, no, it's not true. Now, I expect mystery and a lack of understanding about what has occurred on the part of the terrorists. But you think that the media and our own government could get it together when it comes to something as serious as this? Either it was or it was not. I have a feeling it was. Art, you overlooked the best reason for terrorism. Terrorism to create terror. Whenever a terrorist group claims responsibility for an act, 99% of all the people in the country breathe a big sigh of relief once they realize they don't fit the description of the target victims. But But now, with the seemingly senseless bombing of this TWA flight, who can say they feel excluded as they board their next plane? Just as in a biological epidemic, we are all now at risk. We are all potential victims. Terrorism in its purest form. And while I had not considered that, this person is correct. Aren't they? It would be terrorism in its purest form. No real reason. No real motive. None stated. Everybody at risk. Interesting. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Art, it's been a long time since I talked to you. This is Jim from the Bradshaw Mountains of Arizona.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. Let's talk about this TWA 800.
Sure.
I believe that it was a missile, and you believe it was a bomb.
No, I said... number one choice is probably a bomb. Number two choice is a missile. I said on day one, sir, when this thing first occurred, there was the report of a rising flare. There was a report of radar anomalies. So I had my network, which is very good at doing these kinds of things, contact the military. The military said handheld Stinger missiles are capable of a range of between 1 and 8 miles. A mile being, what, 5,280 feet, right?
Right.
So that would mean somebody in a boat in the water would have been at the minimum range of the Stinger, not the maximum, but the minimum. And that's what I said I thought might have occurred. So it was either a bomb or it was a missile.
Well, I believe I know why it was done, and I believe it was a missile.
Why?
Well, I'd like to say why I think it wasn't a bomb first. It would be very difficult in this country to put a bomb on a plane going overseas.
Why?
Because of our security precautions.
We don't X-ray stored... you're really wrong, sir. The baggage you carry on, that's X-rayed. You walk through a little thing to be sure you're not carrying a knife or a gun or something, and so you're taken care of. Even the baggage you check is taken care of. But things being shipped, they're not.
Well, that's debatable, but
no,
I believe
no,
they
no, it's
are.
Not. No, it's not.
Okay.
Not debatable.
Let's get down to the who I think did it and why.
Sure.
What was the dominant news before these two plane crashes?
Saudi Arabia?
I mean, really dominant to tide up the media. Saudi Arabia was just a splash.
You mean Whitewater?
No.
No? Don't leave me in the dark, sir.
Over 50 days it was on the television.
What?
The Freeman.
Oh, the Freeman.
The Freeman.
Freeman. All right, the Freeman standoff ended peacefully.
That's right, and the court is going on right now.
Yes.
And you're not hearing nothing about it. I believe that this administration has no regard for life.
Huh?
And... they would have plane crashes or something to tie up the media.
So now let me get this straight. You think our administration bombed its own airplane to take attention away from a situation that had already ended? I do have that right, don't I?
No, yes, you do, but situation has not ended. Just because you give up doesn't mean the situation's over.
All right, sir. I appreciate the call, but frankly, sorry. To me, that's Looney Tunesville. I know everybody always wants to blame everything. We always bomb our own stuff, right? Every single thing that has happened, we always do it to ourselves. Murrah Federal Building. Government bombed it. Right? Train wrecks. The government did it. A train collisions. The government arranged it. Planes going down. The government did it. Bomb goes off in Saudi Arabia. Kills a bunch of Americans. Our own government did it. There is a group out there that no matter what happens is going to believe that our own government did it. He was one of those. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, Before I get to the thing I called about, just a couple thoughts about things I wish I knew 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And maybe these are things young people can think about.
It won't help them, but it'll be fun for them to listen.
Well, it'll help them if they take it to heart. I wish I knew that when you make a mistake, it's not the end of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That you, whether you make one mistake or 20, just keep going.
Right.
Don't give up.
No, you're right.
Keep learning. Learn to love to learn and find what you're interested in and keep learning about it. But the thing I wanted to talk to you about is...
all of that is very sage advice.
It is.
As my mom used to say, in one ear and out the other.
It's universal. Well, guaranteed. You know, if it hits the right person at the right time, maybe they'll benefit from it. It's universally applicable.
Yes.
There's a little science note I had for you. I heard you say something a few weeks ago that caught my ear. You said something about there was a scientific study that shows that DNA only degrades and it never gets better.
That's right.
Okay, that's not true.
sir, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What is your source?
My source is the current knowledge about genetics. You would have to go into more detail about the study that you're referring to. When you're looking at like individual strands of DNA, that might be true. But when you look at DNA in living cells, that's definitely not true. DNA is a self-correcting mechanism. In fact, there in many different ways. For instance,
give me one example.
Sometimes in DNA replication, in meiosis and mitosis, if there's incorrect replication, in other words, if one of the strands is misspelled, it'll be clipped out. That strand will be clipped out in a...
I know of no such example, and people with genetic birth defects don't cure. They remain...
That's right.
As defects all their
life. That's right, because that, and I'm not saying it's 100%, but mutations happen all the time, and the reason they're not more common is because often the DNA catches the mistake and corrects it.
Mm-hmm. Well, where would you document a genetic improvement?
Well, the improvement, what I'm talking about, happens on a cellular level.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate the call, and I suspect that both of us are not qualified to be discussing what we're talking about. But there was a study that showed that DNA does not improve, that it can only degrade. Now, I have no idea whether it's really true or not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art. I called a while back ago when you had the Libertarian presidential nomination, Harry Brown.
Harry Brown, yes.
Yes, and I was very impressed on what he had to say about the Communications Decency Act. Another question I wanted to ask him, and maybe you can help me on this too. See, I'm researching this for a research paper, and I was wondering... Last I heard, it was stuck in federal court being tested on its constitutionality. I was wondering if there's been any update on that yet.
What?
Like if it's going to be declared unconstitutional or...
If what is going to be declared unconstitutional?
The Communications Decency Act.
Oh, it's in the courts. And my guess is that the First Amendment will prevail and the bulk of it is going to be struck down.
Okay.
That's my. You asked my guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
All right.
All right.
And about what you said, what you wanted to know 20 years ago? Well, I'm not 20 years old.
What I said is, what is it that you now know about life that you wish you had known 20 years ago? Or in your case, we'll substitute 10 years.
All righty. Like, I'm a college student right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was young and in high school, I did the study thing. You know, I came home from school, I did my homework, and I went to bed early and all that good stuff. You know, I never really went out and had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I could go back, I got good grades, and I can do good right now. I am going out, and I'm having a lot of fun, and I kind of neglect my studies, but I can still pull the good grades. That's what I wish I would have done.
So you wish... all right, thank you. You wish you had lived life a little more instead of being immersed in being a good kid, getting good grades, and you should have been out there socializing a little more. That's what I got out of that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello? Going once, going twice, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Art.
Yes.
This is Bob in New Orleans.
Hello, Bob.
Art, I read an article in the Times-Picayune here about in the last 2 weeks, and it had to do with a small child somewhere in the Great Lakes region. His parents both had some problem with their DNA, and all previous children to this marriage had died. And somehow or other, this child's DNA corrected itself, and he was perfectly healthy.
You're absolutely correct. I did read the same article, but I don't know what to attribute that to, and I don't know which to believe.
Well,
you're absolutely correct.
I don't know what that implies.
I don't either.
What do I wish that I would have known 20 years ago?
Yes.
I wish that I would have known how easy it was to break your body.
Yeah. When you're young, you really do think you're immortal.
And indestructible.
Indestructible, yes.
And the only way you find out that you're not...
is when you hurt yourself.
Is when you hurt yourself and it don't get better. And then you have to learn to live with the weakness.
Boy, are you right. Thank you very much for the call. I was that way. And, you know, I've had this lifelong thing where I wanted to fly. And I found out I was indestructible when I tried to fly. I went up out to Palmer, Alaska, out near Palmer, Alaska, on sort of a thing for KENI in Anchorage. And it was with a guy who owned a hang gliding company. And he had told me, nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong. We guarantee it. I mean, we're the best. We've got the best. I'm the best. No problem. You just go running down this hillside, and you'll feel yourself a lift into the air and the exhilaration of flight. And I had the exhilaration of flight for, 10 or 15 seconds. And then I had the agony of the broken arm. That's when I found out, I do seem to be destructible. And, of course, what I did is I had a compound fracture about 2 inches above the elbow. Try and picture that one in your mind if you can. And ever since then, I have been well aware that I am destructible. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Mike from St. Louis.
Hi, Mike.
Yes, I'm calling about that, what you'd like to have known 20 years ago.
Yes, sir.
It would have been real nice to know about remote viewing.
That's true. And you know what? I don't think a lot of people have ever thought about it, but there would certainly be a seamier side to remote viewing, wouldn't there? Or couldn't there be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from the way Courtney was talking about it, the morals is something you bring into it.
Yeah, well, I would say that the majority of those who go through the course probably would have fairly good morals and ethics.
Yeah.
But some of them, just like real life, why, who knows?
Yeah. Oh, and I have something I thought about the chupacabras.
Yes.
Didn't Ross Perot warn us about a giant sucking sound from Mexico?
Yes, he did, sir. Thank you. That's at least 7 on a scale of 10, giant sucking sound. Yes, good old Ross Perot. And he's going to run again, you know. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Art.
Hi.
Tim in Denver.
Yes, sir.
Last time I spoke with you was the evening you had received Art's parts.
Oh, that very night?
That very night, and I was one of the first callers, and I said, you really think you have something, don't you, Art? And you said, yes, I do.
And I, by the way, I still do.
Oh, most definitely.
More
definitely.
More than ever.
I haven't had a chance to call, but... I know what's going on, and it's quite exciting.
Yes, it is.
A couple things. First of all, about the 20 years, what you would like to have known.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I would like to have known how computers were going to take off the way they did.
You'd be a rich man now, wouldn't you?
Either to invest or just to get into it quite heavily.
Some fledgling little silly little company called Microsoft.
Oh, wouldn't it have been great?
Yes.
And also, back then, well, actually 25, possibly 30 years ago, I thought the country was falling apart. I really, in my soul and my heart, thought the country was falling apart. We were protesting in the streets.
What makes you think you were wrong?
Because I see the way the country is today. And I think...
You mean you consider it to be a cohesive, together country?
I think... No, I think that back in the 60s and 70s, we actually were bringing the country together. We were desperately trying to bring it together. The young people especially, they saw what was going wrong, and it was like their last great stand, and then they just kind of gave up and turned into the baby boomer generation.
Well, yeah, as compared to today... It was together then. Even with all the protest, it was together. There were causes worth fighting for. Today we seem aimlessly lost without major goals except to get Friday and have a good weekend. And I don't know. Maybe it's my age showing.
And exactly, mine too. The evening that I received my After Dark, this month's issue, I was turning to it and tuning you in about the time the airplane had been shot down or bombed
whatever. Yeah.
And it just struck me. Page 3, if you look in the middle of the page, the article excerpt that they brought out and highlighted, it says, we just don't realize how vulnerable we are to missile attack.
That's right.
That's page 3.
That's right. Well, okay, that's my newsletter. I know.
Hey, newsletter,
by the way, did you see the picture of the chupacabra?
I most certainly did.
Is that one ugly sucker?
Is one ugly sucker. I also saw the crop circles on the Internet.
Oh, and, you have?
I faxed you last week about them. Everybody, it's strange, the response I'm getting from people, they look at it and say, this is real incredible, but it's also familiar. They seem to have seen it somewhere, or it's like in the movie The Third Kind.
Close Encounters?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, when they were kept doing the things with the mashed potatoes, this means something.
That's right.
Deal.
That's right. So that's a good comparison. Very good, sir. I appreciate your call. Thank
you. Okay, have a good night.
Yes, I suggest you take a very, very good look at those crop circles. And listen to this while you do. Take a good hard look. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful.
Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 22nd, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Well, as promised, I'm going to keep this audience updated on what is affectionately called Art's Parts. There was some very important testing that Linda Moulton Howe and myself had to get done. There were only 3 or 4 locations in the whole U.S. where this testing could have been done. So we didn't want to open our mouths ahead of time. That testing is now complete. Not all testing is complete, but that phase of it is complete. And I'm going to repeat that a particular section or a report here in a few moments. So if you are interested in those parts that are purported to be crash parts or debris from Roswell or a crash in New Mexico, stand by. That's coming up. Now, so that you might be informed, so that you might know about this critical testing, once again, as I mentioned, I kept my mouth shut about it until we got done with this phase of the testing for good reason. There were only about three or four places in the whole country that could have done the testing, and with some of the dark background to some of what's been going on, we wanted to keep our mouths shut. I hope you understand. Here is Linda Howe's report on the most recent testing of Art's parts. Listen carefully. All right, on to the bismuth magnesium anomalous stuff.
Yep. Yesterday, I drove to Washington, D.C. to the hallowed Carnegie Institute, where Dr. Eric Howery, an ion microprobe specialist, agreed to analyze the magnesium isotopes as an independent contractor. We worked for several hours, and he prepared a written report, which he signed, but he would not agree to be interviewed for Dreamland. So I am going to summarize his findings.
All right.
The magnesium in the layered material is not radically different from a natural pure magnesium metal that he used as a baseline comparison. There are three magnesium isotopes we looked at. Magnesium-24, which usually makes up about 80% of normal magnesium metal, and magnesium-25 and 26, which often are about 10% each. Our sample had a little more magnesium-25 and 26, but not outside the range of the baseline magnesium metal in terms of what would be normal variation.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a striking anomaly, and that was in the testing there was the amount of ions that were emitted by our layered sample. Dr. Eric Howery stated in his report that the bismuth magnesium gave count rates of magnesium ions, which were 65 times more than the magnesium metal standard.
Really?
And as I sat there and watched, you could see a scope. You could actually see the ions as the he was using oxygen atoms that would go down and bombard the surface of our material, and then that would scatter up the ions which this machine would measure, and you could actually see ions from his baseline metal and what it looked like as it changed to 24, 25, and 26, and then our sample, and it was a dramatic change.
And you're saying it's 65 times normal.
Yeah, 65 times more than was coming off of his baseline metal sample. And he gave three possible reasons why there might be so much more ion activity. First, we know there is about 2.5% to 3% zinc mixed in with the magnesium layers, and zinc might act as a catalyst for the magnesium ionization in our sample, whereas there was no zinc in the baseline magnesium metal. Now, second, there might be yet some hidden oxygen in the magnesium layer, which could have been further excited by the oxygen electron beam used in the ion microprobe to bombard the magnesium surface. In the analysis, however, none of the spectra that we have done has shown any oxygen at all. Third, Dr. Howery said there might possibly be a distinctive arrangement of magnesium crystal structure related to how the material was constructed. This is a question we are going to try to study in future tests by the university scientists. Now, Dr. Howery was also able to search for one of the very small 1 to 4 micron bismuth layers in our sample, which up to now, the EDS and WDS studies had only shown bismuth and no other elements. But the highly sensitive ion microprobe showed a trace of a lead isotope, which Dr. Howery said might be a naturally occurring trace element since lead and bismuth are very similar in characteristics and terrestrial locations, or the lead might be a calculated alloy with the bismuth for yet unknown purposes.
All right. So, Linda, let me stop you.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to make you not stick your neck out, but be surprised, at least on the air. Richard Hoagland, who is going to be my guest, the audience might want to know, this coming Friday night, Saturday morning, and keeps up on things like this. I happened to talk to Richard Hoagland prior to airtime, and I read him this anomaly section.
Right.
The 65 times business.
Right.
about bismuth.
The ion, magnesium ion.
The ion radiation.
The ion magnesium.
Yes, and Richard Hoagland said, Art, quickly go investigate the crystalline structure. He said, what you have is a diamagnetic material, and you might just find that if you put about 1,000,000 volts to it, it's going to rise up off the kitchen table.
Which you and I have heard before from other sources.
That's right.
And it's very clear that we need people to try this, and I'm hoping in the next few weeks that we might actually get some feedback from a variety of people around the country who said they're going to try that.
This would be Tesla technology that would produce this kind of voltage.
Yeah,
yes.
Getting up to 1,000,000 volts.
Right.
And, this is something coming in the future, but right now we have no data that would prove beyond doubt that the layered bismuth and magnesium zinc material is from an off-planet intelligence or manufactured by non-human beings as described by our anonymous South Carolina source.
And we also have no proof that anybody on Earth has ever made it.
Okay, this has been one of my challenges as a journalist, to research the civilian industrial community as well as others to see if I could find anyone anywhere who has actually layered bismuth and magnesium zinc alloy in these alternating layers and tell me what such a material might do from actual hands-on experience. Well, one senior technician in an industrial research and development facility in Northwest Ohio named Nick Breiter has had approximately 13 years in industrial technology and about 11 years in vacuum technology of thin films as well as high temperature chemistry. He's also been trying to find other research colleagues who might have some information about these layered elements. And this is what he told me. It is brief, but he gave me his permission to use this. This was just a couple of days ago.
Well, let's start and say that this was something that was accidentally grown. It was something that was made here in a factory. Now, there are very large coaters, sputter and E-beam coaters that put thin films or layers on different parts, substrates, pieces of glass. But the enigma for me right now is, if it is, you know, an industrial artifact, let's call it that. But if it is that, I still don't know where in the dickens it would have come from, because I've probed a few mechanical engineers, and I know from my own background that I've never heard of anyone using magnesium with bismuth.
That sounds like my montage over a month and a half ago, doesn't it?
Sure does. Exactly so. So we have absolutely still not nary one person, rare metals, scientists, labs, government labs, nobody knows that this has ever been made, nor
what it does.
What it does.
That's right.
And so that's what we're left with.
And
all right.
The mystery continues, and we're going to continue to do some more testing. And it may be, in the end, that we will learn a little bit more about this whole issue of diamagnetic, magnetic-resisting material, and applications that no one in the civilian world is aware of.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. There you have it. That updates you on the latest testing of Art's parts that occurred at Carnegie. And I thought you would want to hear that. So we are plowing ahead very seriously and expensively, I might add, with this whole project. But there is very little choice. Either you follow a path or you don't. And we are following it. The big news, Flight 800, CNN reported at 9 o'clock. Preliminary testing indicated there was an explosive device on board the jet. This, they said, by chemical traces found on a wing piece near the baggage compartment. In the last hour or two, there have been federal denials of this, so we can't seem to get it together, which is one thing I truly don't understand. I mean, I understand there's a lot of mystery about this. A lot of the aircraft still down below. The pinging from the black boxes has ceased, despite the fact that there are reports the batteries were brand new. Strange. But you would think, at least with regard to the testing we're doing, we could get some straight reports. Do you think it was domestic or foreign terror? If it was terror, would you say domestic or foreign? There was a day in America where it would be true heresy to ask such a question, but you know me, I'll ask. And then in response to my biggest problem with all of this, and that is why you would kill a lot of innocent people and then not claim credit, or do so beforehand so that it was truly known, I got this response, which I think is a good one. Sad, but good. Art, you overlook the best reason for terrorism. Terrorism to create it. Terrorism to create terror. Whenever a terrorist group claims responsibility for an act, 99% of the people in the country breathe a big, heavy sigh of relief once they realize they don't fit the description of the target victims. But now, with the seemingly senseless bombing of this TWA flight, who can say they feel excluded as they board their next plane? Just as in a biological epidemic, we are all now at risk. We are all potential victims. Terrorism in its purest form. And that is a sad, sad thing to contemplate, isn't it? As you know, in about 2 weeks, 10 days, I board an aircraft similar to the one that was shot down. TWA flight 866, leaving 8 o'clock out of New York's Kennedy Airport, bound for Copenhagen, Denmark. And so it's on my mind. And then I heard in the news last hour that an airplane going into St. Louis, which is going to be my first stop, again TWA, lost an engine on landing. It's not a big deal. I have been on aircraft that have lost engines before. As a matter of fact, I may not have told you this, but I flew to Paris on the Concorde. And as we came in to Kennedy, our Concorde lost an engine. Boom! A big bang sound, and as we landed, and they put it in the thrust reverse, the engine went boom. A moment of excitement. Dear Art, today ABC announced the FBI has over 100 eyewitnesses who talk of a flare-like device streaking toward TWA 100 seconds before it burst into a ball of fire. How would a bomb inside the plane do that? Well, I agree. And I don't discount at all the possibility of a missile. Now, they have found evidence, chemical evidence, or not, depending on what you believe, that there was some sort of explosive external device. I'm not sure that means it was inside the aircraft. It just means, I guess, that it was terrorism. Art, one possible reason for the 747 bombing that I haven't heard anybody mention is for the insurance money. Many beneficiaries will be paid some very large sums of money. Scott in Memphis. True. And I'm sure they will look into that. Art, about Flight 800, I have an idea of what could have occurred. I sincerely believe there's a good chance it was a stinger. However, it was not a terrorist attack. I suspect a militia group, street gang, youth gang, village idiot, a drunk, maybe even somebody who would have thought that there wasn't a chance the missile would strike at that range. Could have even been a member of the Army Reserves. Yeah, I suppose all of that is possible. And then I've got one sort of generalized question I'm asking you this morning. It is one they asked of Sam Nunn on Meet the Press, and it is simply, what is it that you now know about life that you wish you had known 20 years ago? Anybody want to bite on that one? First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is the hair from Los Angeles.
Well, hello there.
I know you got Parnell on, so I know you've been getting my email.
It is true.
I also would like to get Orson Scott Card.
Oh, I would love to get Orson Scott Card. If you have any in with Orson Scott Card, or any contact info.
I've only met him once. Mm-hmm. But I do have his email address.
Oh, send it to me, and I will follow up.
Yeah, because I'm Mormon. He's Mormon. And I was listening to the one guy that you had on that was trying to make it for the churches would be taxed.
Oh, yes.
And of course, he had a Mormon background, and he was kind of getting me angry.
Yes, but not an altogether happy Mormon background.
No. So I think he'd kind of rebut it a little bit.
All right. Well, I would be, thank you. I'd be very, very interested to pursue that. I'd love to have Orson Scott Card on. Not so much for the angle on the Mormon church, but for the books he has written. Particularly Speaker for the Dead. God, what a book that was. Ooh. You ever get a chance to read Speaker for the Dead, do it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Jason from Hollywood.
Jason from Hollywood?
Yeah.
All right, Jason.
I want to talk about a Flight 800.
All right.
And I have a theory for why it went down.
Okay.
Well, I think that it was probably a Stinger, whatever they say it was. But and I think, what about the Colombian, you know, those drug lord guys?
Mm-hmm.
Because the government is kind of against them, right?
Yes, it is. But they would have reason to claim credit ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
You see? In other words, the message would be, lay off the cartels or else. At
yes.
least that would be a message. That would be a thing you could understand. But what have we got now, Jason? Just sort of generalized, unclaimed terror that will level itself on everybody every time you get on an airplane.
Yeah, but when you play that song, you know, that by that Armstrong guy?
Yeah.
That makes me happier. I don't really think about it. Could you play that when I hang up?
Well, I just played it last hour.
Okay. We'll play it soon enough.
Well, on the other hand, I can be talked into almost anything, Jason.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, bye.
See you later. That's Jason in Hollywood. I fell in love with that song. I don't know why. If you get a chance to see 12 Monkeys, by all means, see it. It's a movie you have to watch more than once. Or should, I guess, watch more than once. It is true. I love that. Sure. Jason, why not? I'm easy. Here you go. One more time. I'm Art Bell.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Has it occurred to anybody strange, more than passing strange, that the pinging sound from the black boxes is no longer pinging? Now, has it occurred to anybody out there that one possible cause for that might be the black boxes aren't down there anymore? They wouldn't pick them up, not tell us about it, would they? They wouldn't do that, would they? They'd give us the straight poop, wouldn't they? Sure they would. CNN reported that it was an explosive device, preliminary. Feds are denying it. What's going on here? Hey, here's something really weird. Really weird. This is the home of weird. I just got just this moment. The following near-time earthquake bulletin is provided by the National Earthquake Information Service of the U.S. Geological Survey. And it lists the series of volcanic-related quakes in Hawaii. And then it lists at 1:19:59, which means it just occurred today, an earthquake in New York. New York! Strange. Wonder where it was in New York. Not a big one, but at about a 5-kilometer depth, that's very narrow. about 2.6, so somebody there in New York must have felt it someplace. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. This is Ed, Sunland, California.
Hi, Ed.
Oh, well, a couple of things. First, on the remote viewing.
Yes.
I wonder if he'd done any work, I can't remember his name, Courtney Brown?
Yes.
Any work finding out what the crop circle was, could be, who's causing him, how it's caused, and so forth?
Well, we never got around to that.
Yeah, I tried to get in, but it was such a interesting show that, you know, everybody was trying to get on. Also, yesterday, Sunday, was the birth anniversary of Nikola Tesla, and you just mentioned that perhaps Art's parts might...
Yes, I did.
Might have something to do with the Tesla technology and so forth.
Well, in the sense that it might take Tesla technology to produce the kind of voltage that is going to be required to produce what we think might happen if that kind of voltage is applied.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting. I was invited to a Tesla birthday celebration. And it's not well known that Tesla was Serbian. And, of course, these days,
right,
Serbian is kind of a bad word. And what I want to find out from another source, because I was given the objectivity of where I was at the time. I was watching a documentary on the situation in Bosnia that we haven't heard too much about lately.
Mm-hmm.
That actually some of the atrocities attributed to the Serbs were committed by Muslims, and it was reported wrong that the Serbs had done it and so forth. And I wonder if anybody else could verify that. And by the way, you know your competition, Rush Limbaugh? His competition.
No, he's not.
He's not really. His listeners come on and say, Dittos? Is that it? Dittos?
Dittos, yes.
Yeah, how about Kilos, Art?
Kilos.
Yes, Kilos.
I like it. Thank you. Yeah, sure. The reason for that, those of you who don't know, is that we all know NSA has computers. And these computers monitor constantly telephone conversations. Now, you knew that, didn't you? And what they do is they look randomly, you know, they just look randomly for keywords. I'm sure they look for words like terrorist, bomb, kilo, as it relates to drugs. And so it has been suggested that to protect one's privacy, everybody during the course of a normal conversation simply occasionally utter the word kilo, kilo. Somewhere a cray deep under the NSA's building stops cold and makes some guy listen to the conversation. Yeah, you might say kilos. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you doing?
Okay.
I just figured I'd call to let you chew on this idea about the crop circles.
Yes, sir.
What if it was a symbol symbolizing planets and moons, and someone is leaving a symbol?
Could be. I mean, your guess is as good as any. I have no idea what it means. What if it means you now have 2 months to either get your act together or else? What if it means that?
It just it kind of looks like maybe a... another extended map of the universe.
Well, could be. All I can say is, go take a look. We have got two of the most magnificent, stunning, heart-stopping, taking-breath-away kind of photographs up there you've ever seen. One of Stonehenge in England, of the current crop circle, and the other of what is called the DNA double helix. Now, it is not precisely a DNA double helix, but the resemblance is uncanny. So you go take a look. It's up on my webpage, which is www.artbell, that's A-R-T-B-E-L-L, no space, .com. It is not a hard web address to recall. www.artbell.com. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Art.
Yes, sir?
Yeah, I want to talk about the crop circle.
All right. Where are you?
I'm Eric from San Diego.
Okay.
You think aliens would come down here and actually, with all the technology, come down and play in the wheat?
Well, I'm not sure it's playing.
Well,
maybe it's messaging. Maybe it is a form of communication. I mean, what? Why would we be so egotistical to presuppose that another race would communicate the way we do, by radio or TV or even vocal communication?
Well, that's true.
So yeah. Who the hell knows what they are? But
yeah.
I'll tell you this. I can tell you what they are not. They are not products of Doug and Dave.
No. Well, what about Chupacabra?
Well, that's always possible. I like the guy last hour who said, you remember when Ross Perot talked about the giant sucking sound from the South?
All right, nice talking to you, Art.
Yeah, goodbye. I thought that was cute. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art Bell.
Hey, yes.
This is Sean from Sacramento.
Well, I guess he hung himself up. Hmm. That happens. People get nervous, you know, and they get on the air, and they press the wrong button. I can only imagine the fist pounding that must go on after that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. You were talking about, you know, the airplane crash and all that, and mentioning that not so long ago it would have been unthinkable
to even speculate about domestic terrorism.
Right.
That's right, yes.
I have, I guess, three theories, I don't know, about what it might have been. Probably none of them is right. Who knows? One of them, I guess, probably the one I tend to believe the most, and I don't know, I sure hope I'm wrong, would be that it's probably one of the competing airlines here in America.
Oh, sir.
I kind of had a feeling that might be your reaction, but...
It is. Oh, sir. What is number two?
Well, let me tell you about this number one. I mean, both of these airlines, the one down in Florida and then this one in New York, both of them were really getting into a spot where they were making extra money and cutting into the competition. So it just makes it kind of seem like there's something in common. And both of them had the flight recorders go silent. So, anyway, the other theory is that it might be something to do with the Olympic Games, because the Greeks were unhappy with us about the Olympics being here in America on the Millennium Games or something. And, of course, this plane was going to Athens.
Do you have a third possibility?
The third one is probably the one the establishment would like the best. And that is the one that the other man suggested. It was probably done for insurance money.
Well, that is possible. All right, I appreciate your call. I do. That is always possible and always has to be considered. And you know they're reviewing all of the insurance that people took out. I'll bet you people are taking out a lot more insurance now. But, you know, the truth is, the one thing the NTSC... NTSB, is it? See? NTSB, I guess. Says that is true is that even with this occurring, as much in the headlines as it is still safer to fly than it is to drive. And you are more likely to be killed on the street than you are to be blown out of the air by a terrorist or an accident or anything else. So you've got to keep that in mind. Into the land of the unexpected. We do not screen calls, we just push buttons here. East of the Rockies, you are the next button. Good morning, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art, this is Ralph from Pasadena.
Yes, sir.
I hear you talking about the $100 bill all the time.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Did you hear about the new quarters?
Yes, they will carry individual state symbols of what
right, like Texas, the Lone Star, the California, the Bear. Kind of scary stuff, isn't it?
I don't know. You know what I think we ought to have on ours here in Nevada? Flying saucer.
A flying saucer?
How about that? The flying saucer quarter.
What, for Nevada?
Yes, and on the, and then on that'd be on the front of the quarter. On the back of the quarter, we could have an image of the the White House blowing up.
Oh,
you know, from
true.
ID4. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, would that be a coin or what?
Yeah. You was asking about the what would I know about if I knew about 20 years ago? I got a story for you.
All right.
And you're gonna laugh.
All right.
I wish I knew now what I mean. I wish I knew 20 years ago what I know now about teeth.
Teeth?
Teeth.
Oh.
How easy they come out.
Nothing to laugh about there.
No. Well, the story... Okay, here's the story. When I was 4 years old, Tarzan was big on Saturday morning.
I remember that.
Okay. Well, I thought I can climb up in a tree
and
swing from a rope.
Oh.
But not by my teeth.
You did it by your teeth?
Yes, I did by my teeth, and all four front teeth got yanked out.
Oh, man. Hey, you know,
every time I think about it, I grin.
Hey, do you know there is an award that is given out for things like that called the Annual Darwin Award?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the last involved a guy who put a jetpack on the back of his Impala, I believe it was, and impacted the side of a mountain doing several hundred miles an hour. It's called the Darwin Award, and I think that you should be nominated. Four teeth, huh?
Right. It took about 4 years to grow back.
Well, at least you didn't do it with your permanent ones.
That's true.
All right, thank you. Yes, I think that one may qualify right up there with the jetpack on the back of the Chevy. I should dig that out and read it to you. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Reasonably well. Contemplating my trip to Europe, and so I'm in a good mood.
Well, that's good.
Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
And I was calling about that Flight 800.
Yes.
I was thinking that perhaps it was an accident.
Well, the evidence would seem au contraire, but what leads you to believe it is an accident?
Well, what I mean is an accident by the military who were performing operations right off the...
You mean they might have shot it down by accident?
Yes.
Yes, I have heard that.
There were flares that were seen by all those witnesses, as well as perhaps one of those missiles got away.
It's possible. It's possible. And if it is that, will we ever know? You remember those black boxes that were pinging, that are not pinging now?
Well, that's right. I kind of think that that's maybe one of the reasons that they're so slow in going.
If you want to think conspiracy, think the reason they're not pinging anymore is because they're not down there anymore.
Yeah, well... I'm not trying to think of a conspiracy. I think it just seems almost the more obvious.
I appreciate your call, ma'am, and it is a possibility, though you would think that had we fired a missile, A, the missile would no longer be there, and somebody would say, gee, look, a missing missile. Now, we ought to investigate that. On the other hand, maybe not. I wouldn't think that the Navy... or the military on Long Island would be firing missiles at all. But I could be wrong about that, too. What do I know? Others have speculated about a submarine. Could have been a submarine. Could have been a terrorist in a rowboat. Could have been a bomb on board. At this point, we don't know. What I am objecting to is the apparent confusion of information regarding the investigation itself. Now, that ticks me off. We ought to know the truth, and why don't we? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How you doing tonight? I'm calling from Reno.
Yes, sir.
I just thought on your point on the UFO on the Nevada Quarter, I thought maybe instead of silver and copper, they ought to be made out of magnesium and bismuth as well.
Yeah, magnesium bismuth layered quarters.
You got it.
I think the cost of that might be a little prohibitive for a quarter.
Well, if they could even make them. Maybe the U.S. Mint can make them.
You know, nobody... Yeah, that's right. Nobody has yet made this that we know of, so it's a good point. But what do you think? I mean, wouldn't a flying saucer, wouldn't that be good?
I think it would be great. Now, you know, I don't know what you put on the other side. I think you mentioned it earlier, but we'll have to come up with something good there.
Well, I suppose it would be too.
The only problem is, I guess, though, is if it if we can get those things to levitate when you put them in a soda machine, you might be able to pop the money back out.
you sort of jam it in, and it floats back out
there,
again.
There you go. There you go.
Now, it might be worth manufacturing.
All right.
You guys are all right. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. A quarter you could put in a soda machine that would levitate back out again. Somebody wrote me this after listening to Linda's report. Art, the bismuth magnesium zinc fragments you have are from the underside of an older model spacecraft. It was used to protect the belly of the ship when it was running its intergravitational engines in the atmosphere. Take a clue from the Levitron that you are advertising. It is true that we are advertising something called the Levitron on Dreamland. There is a photograph. It does. It levitates. It's the damnedest thing you ever saw. It takes you got to learn how to do it. But you spin it, and then you just raise it on this plate, and then you remove the plate. And this thing sits there in midair spinning. It is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And when I got it, I couldn't do it. I got so angry at it, I almost threw the metallic piece through a window. And my son spent about 20 minutes. How embarrassing. He spent about 20 minutes, and he levitated that sucker. And then after he did it once, he did it again and again and again and again. I couldn't believe my eyes. So that's when I called the people at Levitron. See, I had first called them. I said, you guys are out of your mind. Everybody's going to be angry at me if I sell this, because they're not going to be able to do it. But, you know, trust a 15-year-old to come along and spend just a few minutes at it. And he had that sucker levitating and spinning and amazing us. And it does. It just sits there and spins in the air. It is unbelievable.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Moody River, your muddy water took my baby's life.
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 22nd, 1996.
Good to be here. If you like mysteries, we sure have got one. CNN reported that there was an explosive device on board Flight 800. They said they had evidence that was that consisted of a report, a chemical report, of a trace elements found on a piece of wing near the baggage compartment. Or would it be fuselage? I think they said wing. Then the government said, no, that's not true. The black boxes, which had brand new batteries, were not pinging anymore as of today. They had been pinging, but now they're not. Now, why would that be? Has it occurred to anybody that they might not be pinging because they might not be there anymore? Thought I'd feed the conspiracy crowd a little bit. And if that's not enough for you, consider the possibility of a missile, because there's about 100 eyewitnesses that saw something headed up toward that airplane before the explosion. And then the big question. Is there a CNN show that has the big question, assuming that it was terrorism? Would you be more inclined to think it was domestic or foreign? And then consider the fact that there was a day in America where to ask such a question would have been considered heresy. Too bad it isn't today. Domestic or foreign? What do you think? And somebody said, well, no, it was me. I said, well, what's the good of a terrorist act if you're not trying to manipulate the foreign policy of a nation or whatever it is, stupid thing you're trying to do? And somebody answered all too well for me, and the answer was, you just scare the hell out of everybody who gets on an airplane. That's true, isn't it? True.
Music.
Vincent Bugliosi. Ooh, I've got to learn that. Bugliosi. The G is silent. Vincent Bugliosi tomorrow night at 11. You're not going to want to miss that first hour of the program. Then Friday night, Saturday morning, the return of Richard Hoagland. And he's got some news for you. Then we're asking sort of a general question. What is it that you now know about life, right now, that you wish you had known 20 years ago? Somebody asked Sam Nunn that on Meet the Press Sunday, and I thought, oh, man, what a great, great question. So I am asking you tonight, think about it. What is it that you now know about life in general that you wish you had known 20 years ago? Then, remember we were talking about Kilo, talking about saying Kilo, say Kilo on the air? Some guy just sent me a fax, said, Art, I did just as you said while on the phone with a friend. I repeated Kilo 3 times soon after the DEA broke down my door and took all 10 kilos of my stash. I'm never going to listen to you again. Dave in Houston, Texas. What had I wished I'd known? Art, I wish I'd known that when I was younger, I was going on diets would only make me fatter. Had I known that then, my quality of life today would be much better. Art, you can perform a valuable public service by sharing this information. If you seriously wish to learn the truth about obesity, check. And he gives me a World Wide Web address. So he thinks youthful dieting has made him a fat guy. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
I would like to tell you something that has happened to me about 15 years
ago. Dear lady, I can hardly even hear you.
Oh.
Put your lips up to the phone and project. It happened to you 15 years ago. Where are you calling from?
Illinois.
All right. Go ahead.
And I had been afraid to tell anybody because I didn't want to think I had gone to a loony tooty, you know?
Oh, you can tell me.
All right. I got prepared for bed, and I went to bed, and I woke up, and I was in something. You know, I didn't know what it was at that time.
A ship.
And they aren't the way that people say that they were mean and cruel to them, you know?
They?
Well,
you mean the little guys?
Well, they were small, but they didn't have those great big eyes.
No.
They had large eyes, but they weren't real, real big like that.
Not overly large. What did they do to you?
All right. They told me, they didn't open their mouth or anything, but they told me not to be afraid. Mm. And I said I wasn't. In fact, I was very peaceful. It was a very peaceful thing. You
know? Kind of like when a dentist says, this isn't going to hurt.
It didn't.
Good aliens.
They brought me to a table, and they pointed to it, and I went willingly and got up on the table.
Mm.
And
see, now, why would you do that? I mean, you know that aliens do stuff to people who get on tables.
I had no fear.
All right.
I had no fear. It was very peaceful. And they were very kind to me, it seemed like.
Mm.
I can't recall too much of it, but I remember I sort of looked out of some kind of window. And I remember seeing, the stars, I guess they were. And I woke back up again in my bed, you know, and I thought, well, I couldn't even remember what I had dreamed about that night.
So,
normally, I remember, you know.
So then what do you think they did?
Well, I remember I would put, when people would come in or somebody and I would go to greet somebody or if I'd get up tight, I remember I used to put my legs very tight together and come stand erect. And I would keep my hands and my arms straight down to my body, but I would spread my hands out and sort of bow. And I remember my daughter saying, why are you doing that? And I said, doing what? I had no recall of why I was doing it then.
So then why?
Well, because it made me feel peaceful. And I recall that's the way that I greeted these people on the ship or wherever.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, maybe that was it. sort of like Spock's live long and prosper signal, right? Abductee. Many people claim they have been abducted. I would not get on the table, though. It's like going to the dentist when the dentist says, this may pinch a little bit. That means this is going to hurt like hell. Prepare yourself. Nurse, hold him down. when they tell you it won't hurt at all, it's going to be moderate pain. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. I've been trying to reach you for a long, long time.
Well, you have now.
I really love your show.
Thank you. Where are you?
I'm in West Texas.
West Texas.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I wanted to put my name in the hat for when you take your vacation, of course, you know, because I like your show so much. I wish to emulate you or fill in for you, whichever is case.
Well, that's kind. We did that last time. This time, we are going to do the best of. We are going to just we took all the best interviews that have occurred over the last many months. Or even years.
All right.
And it's going to be really hot.
Well, I have a suggestion, too.
Okay.
Next time they have a bunch of people like the Montana militia people like that,
yeah.
Why don't they just round up all the chupacabras and take them up there and turn them loose?
Turn them loose?
Yeah.
You mean like on the farm?
Yeah.
Works for me. Truly cruel, sir.
You have a good morning.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. People are so cruel these days. So cruel. If aliens are communicating with us by making crop circles, then how do we reply? Doug and Dave will be very busy, I suppose. That's from Ryan in Santa Barbara. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art Bell.
Good morning to you. Turn your radio off. That is...
Just did it.
Okay, good. Where are you?
This is Denny in South Dakota calling.
All right.
I have a couple of comments and a question for you.
Okay.
First of all, the question. Last week you had a guest on, and I didn't catch enough of the show to catch the gentleman's name, but he talked about Mars aliens inhabiting New Mexico nurseries.
When I go on vacation, we will replay that program.
I see. Well, I was hoping I could get his name and the name of his book from you.
Well, you can't this second, but that information, of course, obviously is going to be in the replay, so.
All right.
If you would. It was Courtney Brown, but the name of the book, let me see, Cosmic Voyage, I believe. Okay?
Pardon?
I said okay.
That sounds fine.
All right, good. And listen for the replay. Oh, we're going to have the best of the best on. I'm going, you're really going to enjoy that. It won't be, it's all non, well, with the exception of, I don't want to give too much away. I better not give too much away. Anyway, you're going to be surprised. There's going to be a series of the cream de la cream when I'm gone. You just wait. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
KQMS, Redding, California.
Well. I haven't heard from you in probably days.
I know, and you know why? Because I haven't got my new phone yet, and I wasn't going to call because you said my voice sounded terrible, but I couldn't stand it.
It does. I mean, your voice would be so crisp and clear and good on a good phone.
I will get one.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, go to a swap meet and buy one of the good old-fashioned...
Oh, my God, this one.
Telephone. You got that one at a swap meet?
At a garage sale. My garage... You know, my kids keep breaking them.
Well,
that's why I go to garage sales and get phones.
I see. Well...
You know what?
What?
Now, see, remember a couple of weeks ago I called you and, you know, you made me feel so much better because I asked you if I could unintentionally cause some people psychic harm, and you said, look, now...
I got an idea.
What?
Just before we proceed, take your telephone, the one you got in your hand now.
Uh-huh.
Hold on to the mouthpiece that you talk into.
Uh-huh.
And no, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Hold on to the other side that you listen to.
Uh-huh.
And bang the mouthpiece on a table like that. Go ahead, do it right now. No, really? I'm
really?
Serious. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Does it sound better?
No.
Sorry.
It was worth a try.
But see, I asked you if I could unintentionally cause people psychic harm. See, you could be an unintentional psychic vampire and not even know it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we were discussing last night, actually.
I know. And, you know, that totally blew. You're making me feel good right away because right. Now I feel bad. because I could be, you know why? I'll tell you why.
You may well be a psychic vampire. I've actually had that thought myself.
I know. Listen, I've had that thought about you.
Well.
I know.
I deny it.
Me too. I'm like, I don't want to be that. That's what I wanted. I couldn't get through last night. I wanted to ask that guy, if you are an unintentional psychic vampire, how do you stop?
Get a little closer to the phone, dear. Come on, closer, closer.
Oh, God. You know what?
What?
Oh, no, I forgot what I was going to say. That's just great.
Okay, well, see, you're not a psychic vampire, then. A psychic vampire would have a better memory. A psychic vampire would not have blanked out at that moment. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you. Where are you?
This is Jim, Kansas City.
Yes, Jim.
How are you doing this morning?
Fine.
I wanted to ask you, I saw that missile there on the film CNN put on there going up, and I'm an ex-Vietnam veteran.
Now, wait a minute. I haven't seen any film of that.
They had it on the news right after it happened, and I haven't seen the film since.
Oh, I was there right from the beginning, and I never saw a flare or a missile or a shot of anything like
that. Oh, yeah, well. I don't know what channel it was on, but
no,
I don't
believe it, because if they'd had that...
Well, I'm not lying to you.
Well, they would have then had a picture of the debris falling into the ocean.
They had... you could see it right before the big explosion.
There was no big explosion on film.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Well,
they had burning debris in the water. That's the only film I saw.
Well, there was another film on there that showed the explosion, and you could see you could see the flicker.
If they had that, they'd have been showing it over and over and over again.
I would think so too, but I haven't seen it again. And I just thought when you brought it up, I said, "Well, I saw that on TV myself, and why haven't they reshown that?"
All right, sir. I appreciate the call, but I think you're wrong. I really do. If they had a picture of the explosion of that airliner, I guarantee by now you would have seen it until you thought your head would explode. No, I don't believe so. The photograph they did have might, because it was dark in the background, you might have thought that you were seeing something in the air, but indeed it was burning debris on the ground. Now, if I'm wrong about that, fine. Somebody come on along and tell me so, but I believe that's correct. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
How in the world are you?
Fairly well. Where in the world are you?
Arkansas. This is Ken.
Arkansas?
Yeah.
Where in Arkansas?
Southern Arkansas.
Okay.
Concerning your question, Art, about what we would do if we knew something 20 years ago?
Everybody's not getting this quite right. The question is, what is it that you now know about life that you wish you had known 20 years ago?
That is a good question.
Damn right it is.
I've got two quick experiences for you.
Okay.
I found out who I am. And what I mean by that is, 4 years ago, this coming November,
mm-hmm.
I was dying of cancer. Mm. And some friends of mine, we had been seekers of truth, as you are, for a long time. Started off in Christianity, and we were talking about spiritual things. I walked into the bathroom, began to wash my hands, a strange place, but the whole bathroom lit up to the point that I disappeared in the mirror looking at my reflection.
Wow.
It was pretty incredible. I mean, it was a mind blower.
Well, I've had some pretty unusual bathroom experiences, but nothing to rival that, sir.
Well, I found out that God is within us, the last place I looked. But after that, a lot of strange occurrences. That started me on a journey. And this 4th of July, Art...
Wait. You were in the bathroom, and you disappeared in a flash of light. Obviously, you had to at some point reappear. Where were you when you came back? Were you in a stall? Or?
Well, my knees turned to jello. No, I was standing in front of the mirror. And my knees turned to jello, and I said, "Is that you?" And he said, "It's me, son." And I said, "Well, can you turn down the light a little? It's kind of freaking me out a little bit." And he did. And he said, "I'm here to answer your questions."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Well, the first one," then I began to doubt my own sanity at that point, Art.
I understand.
And I said, "Well, what's the meaning to life?" And it was so simple. He said, I am. And he spoke from inside of me. And I realized at that point that God has always been inside of me. Well, after this...
But it took a bathroom experience.
Strange place to meet God, isn't it? But after this, Art, I sat on the stool, and when I got up, there was blood and mucus that left my body.
Wow.
And there was no trace.
And that's
that.
And then your cancer was gone?
It was gone. It was gone. And I found out who I am.
Wow.
As the scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That is a remarkable story, sir. That is a remarkable story. Really,
one more
is.
Real quick one.
Well, I don't have time for one. Besides...
It's outstanding.
You're never going to top the last one.
Oh, yes.
No. No, you've got to quit while you're ahead. Besides, I'm at a break point here. I got a break. So I'm going to thank you for that. In your next call, you can relate. I mean, you're just not going to top that. That's all there is to it. Only here. Only with live unscreened talk radio.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 22nd, 1996. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 22nd, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. It is great to be here, actually, and great to be alive, huh? Let's go to the international line. Ah, the international line. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Where are you calling from, please?
How you doing? I'm calling from Kokkola, Finland. It's pretty close to the northern Sweden and Finnish border. And I listened to your show back when I'm home in the States, and I thought I'd give you a call when I got over here on vacation with my wife.
Well, you know that I'm going in about 10 days right over to your territory, be landing in Copenhagen, and so I'm dying to know, how is the weather over there?
Oh, it is just awesome right now. There's not really a cloud in the sky. It's about 75 to 80 degrees, and it is really nice. We're right here on the coast in a little summer house, so it's pretty nice since our vacation's coming to an end later this week.
Well, it's about 115 degrees, 118 degrees here every day now.
Wow, that sounds like typical Nevada weather.
Yes, it is at this time of year. And so I'm looking forward to your weather for a couple of weeks. It's going to really be nice. And it sounds like you're in a beautiful location.
Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, the reason I called, though, I was curious because listening to your show back home, when we came over here, one of the things I wanted to do was check out the difference of the $100 bill like you've been talking about. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's different over in Europe.
Yes.
So I took you up on the challenge. I went down to the bank, and I asked the lady for one of their, you know, new $100 bills so I could compare them.
Right.
And really, I couldn't tell any difference. I don't know if maybe an expert eye could pick out some of the differences, but it looked to me just to be the same.
Okay. Did you get one of the new bills? Or
right. This is one of the new with the big Ben Franklin picture on it.
Boy, it sure is ugly, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I don't know why they decided to change it so dramatically, but yeah, looking at the two different bills side to side, they didn't look like they were much different.
Well, maybe it is a difference that we are unable to detect. It's hard to say. I know they had intention to do that for counterfeiting. Now, since you have been gone, you would not know, but there are now plans to have 50 separate quarters, one, you know, the 25-cent piece, one for each state of the union. So that's
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. And I want
to
fly.
Hey, there's one more thing, though, I'd like to share with you. When you get over here, you have to check out their cellular phones. You'll be just amazed at their technology that they have in their cellular phones.
Should I bring my cellular phone? Would it work over there? I mean, that's a big roam.
No, unfortunately, I tried that with mine. In fact, mine's a Nokia, which is made over here in Finland, and it doesn't even compare with what they have. Their phones are on what's called a GSM system.
Oh.
And it's just so impressive. If you have your phone off and say you're not available to answer it, you know, on my phone, it'll just say someone that called. Well, on their phones, it will store up to like 5 different numbers. It actually tells you the number that is coming in, and you could read it on the menu screen.
Well,
actual display.
Well,
it's
that
so
figures.
Impressive.
Yeah, that figures. There were advances in radio when I was in Europe in Paris. It was amazing to me on FM radio too. All right, listen, my friend. I thank you. I think you are my first caller from Finland.
All right.
All right.
Hey, keep in touch.
You take care. Bye-bye. Finland. I never can remember to give that number out. If you would like to reach us from any overseas place, you can do it like that man. Here's how you do it. It's simple. It really is. All you do is call the AT&T operator for the country you're in and get the AT&T USA direct number. There is a USA direct code, country code. Or, if you can't do that, call the AT&T operator and then call our international toll-free number, which is 800-893-0903. Let me give that again. 800-893-0903. And for you, it will be toll-free from anywhere in the whole world. As far as I know, we're the only ones who have a true toll-free international line. Again, that number, 800-893-0903. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Mike, KEX.
Yes, sir.
Late last night, I heard a news release, and I don't know if it was an FAA official or FBI. They said they didn't want the information of this being a terrorist attack because if it was, that would give the perpetrators time to destroy evidence and things like that.
Probably true, yes.
So that's probably
true. I would imagine if there are perpetrators, they're busily destroying whatever they can anyway.
Oh, I'm sure of it, yeah.
So.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, and have a good morning. Art on Nightline tonight. They reported all that you have been talking about. But they also reported trace elements on the leading edges of a piece of wing debris. There were also reports of a live fire Navy exercise 8 miles from the crash site. Oh, no. This might explain the fortuitous presence of a C-130 and helicopters conducting rescue training ops. Oh, God, don't let it be that. Yikes. So, there you are. That's awful to even contemplate, isn't it? Your caller may be on to something. The New York Times just reported traces of explosives, then reported a military official said a second test showed no explosives. The Pentagon seems to have all recordings of the radar trackings and have conclusively decided there was no missile. And again, now no ping. A military mistake. A mere 98th degree Mason, but I'm trying. Signed, Kilo. 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 Yes, it gets deeper and deeper. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Woo! Bunch of echo there. Hello.
Hello, I'm calling from Hawaii.
Yes, well, you have much echo there.
Okay, and I just wanted to let you know that if I had, I'm only 17, but if I had, say, 10 years to go back in time, like to,
no, it has to. No, I'm sorry. It's got to be 20 years. So tell us about your pre-birth experience.
Pre-birth experience.
I'm kidding. All right, 10 years. 10 years.
If I had 10 years, or say 12 years to go back, I would probably tell my father to invest in video games.
Oh, so you'd be a rich kid now.
Yeah, over here they're huge, and I don't know. But what time is it over there?
What? It's about 13 minutes before 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, it's only about 11 over here.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm hardly getting started over there.
Yep. And another thing I wanted to say that, you know, like books and everything, it takes so long to get everything over here, you know, from...
Yes.
I mean, we had a lot of tourists come over here, and I was talking to one the other day, and he said that Stephen King's bestseller number 5 is out already.
Right.
And we've only got, like, number 2.
Well, look, it's a small price to pay for living in paradise.
True, but a lot of things, people don't really realize that, but a lot of things cost a lot of money over here. Like,
no.
Milk costs $5 and...
Milk costs... Wait a minute. Whoa. That's a half gallon of milk for $5?
No, it's a gallon of milk for $5.
Still a lot of money. Give me another example.
Okay, like rent for a two-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Would be $750.
Mm-mm-mm. You mean a two-bedroom house or apartment?
Apartment.
That's pretty steep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, paradise ain't cheap.
True, but I listen to you every night, and I just wanted to say hello and just give my example of what I would do if I went back in time.
All right, sir, thank you. Well, it's not really going back in time. It's simply asking if you knew 20 years ago what you know now about life. Let's see, I forgot my own question. Here it is. Let me get it out. I phrased it so well. What is it that you now know about life that you wish you knew 20 years ago? That is the precise question, actually. Somebody asked that of Sam Nunn on Meet the Press, and I thought, oh, man, what a cool question. Not that he answered it particularly well, but I thought, what a cool question for the audience. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello? Yes, hello.
Art?
Yes.
This is Dylan from Illinois.
Hello, Dylan.
I just want to first of all say, great show. Love it. I just started listening to it a couple weeks ago.
Thank you.
Fascinated. I heard Graham Hancock.
Yes.
And I thought that was just an incredible show. I just had this what if. What if the pyramid, well, he kind of hinted on it a little bit, was like a giant puzzle that is slowly setting itself into place. And as it sets itself into place, it releases some sort of wisdom as it does naturally.
Well, I think that's exactly what Graham was suggesting in his own way, that it is doing that, that we are close to the time when we are supposed to acquire that knowledge. I'm not sure we're ready for it right now, but on the other hand, maybe we need it to continue to survive.
Mm-hmm. It just seems to me also at the time there's a large, like, conscious awakening taking place, too.
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but it wouldn't surprise me that you're able to hear Graham Hancock again while I'm gone on vacation.
Really? That would be... Or do you think you might have him back, too, sometime?
Well,
if possible. I know he's going... He said something about going...
He's in Africa now.
Yeah.
But I think we probably did the defining show with Graham while he was in this country, so you'll get to hear that one again.
I'd be interested to make sure, find out what's going on with the chambers.
Well, that's what we're going to find out shortly. As a matter of fact, folks, we will probably take both of the Hancock shows and combine them into one 5-hour Graham Hancock spectacular. We might do that. I'm just, you know, I'm giving you hints of what might occur while I'm gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Joel from Minneapolis.
How you doing, Joel?
Not bad. I
just got a call from a guy wanting to know. He's moving to Minneapolis.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to know where he can hear us in Minneapolis. So why don't you tell him?
It would be KSTP AM 1500.
Yeah, that's right. Big, strong signal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just got a comment on what I'd do 20 years from now or what.
No, everybody gets it so screwed up. The question is, what is it that you now know about life that you wish you knew 20 years ago?
Okay, that same deal. If I knew 20 years ago, I'm 24 now, I'm going to be 24 in a couple days.
Right.
I would say, when I'm 4 years old, I would tell myself, listen to your parents, they're not as dumb as you think.
Boy, there's some wisdom. That's a truth, isn't it?
But yeah. I mean, I'm a dad now, too, and it's just like, oh, geez, you know.
Here I am, 24 and a dad.
Trying to get through college.
Do you think that your children will have a better life than you have had or worse?
I think a lot of it depends on me. And
God, that's a good answer.
And I hope that they have a better life than I did.
Well, I didn't ask about your hope, though.
Well, I'm working to make sure that they have a better life than I do, what I did.
That's another good answer. You're all right. You give me hope, sir.
Thank you.
Right, thank you, and take care. Those are good answers. Those really are good answers. There's somebody with his head on straight. That's nice to hear. First-time caller line, you are upon the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is JR from San Francisco, first-time caller.
This isn't the JR that got killed so long ago.
No.
No, okay.
But I do have some information that might be of interest to you.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier about the possibility that the black boxes may have been discovered and just not disclosed.
Well, I think that's what I suggested when I said it's not pinging anymore. It had new batteries. Now, why isn't it pinging? One answer might be because it's not there.
Right. Well, I just happened to hear something on the news Friday. I don't know if anybody else heard it or mentioned it to you, but about 11 a.m. Pacific time on the news on the radio, I heard on, I believe, CBS that they had found one of the black boxes. They even said they weren't sure which black box it was, but they had found it. And then I never heard anything else after
that.
Yeah,
right. Well, there's been a lot of that kind of reporting, you know, flash reporting one. I think these reporters are talking to each other if you want to know the truth.
No, I can understand that, but I would have expected to hear somebody mention somewhere along the way that someone had made a mistake in reporting that, and I never heard that. It's as if it had never been reported, and I know I heard it. I was very surprised when I heard on Larry King later that day that they were still looking for the black boxes. And it surprised me that nobody had mentioned that it had been missing.
No, it's a good point, sir, and the reporting on this has been all mixed up. Thank you very much for the call. All mixed up. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I wish they could get that together. On my international line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
Art, I'm in Stockholm right now.
Stockholm.
But I'm from California.
I beg your pardon?
I'm in Stockholm right now.
But you're from California?
Yes.
What are you doing in Stockholm?
Well, I'm doing essentially the same thing I think you're going to be leaving on in a little bit. Is that right?
That is correct.
You're going to the Hermitage in St. Petersburg, right?
Of course I am.
Of course. Well, we're headed for a ferry boat today to Helsinki, and then we motor coach to the Hermitage. And we'll 3 nights in St. Petersburg to see the castle.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
I just wanted to tell you that when you get to Oslo, there's so much to do. I'm Tom. I live in Carmel, right near where you used to work in Salinas.
Oh, indeed, yes.
Oslo is a fun city. There's no traffic. The price of the petrol or the gasoline is so high that you don't have downtown traffic jams. Have you been there before?
No. No, this is my first trip to Scandinavia, actually.
My wife has a Norwegian father, so we go back to visit her cousins.
Listen, we had a report that about 2 or 3 weeks ago it was cloudy and raining, but I guess the weather has cleared across Scandinavia and is beautiful now?
Yes, both in Stockholm and in Oslo. Over a week ago, they had an unseasonal cold spell, and it was awful. They were not prepared for it.
Right.
But now it's just been absolutely desirable for the last 2 weeks, and I think, or last week or 10 days, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Well, I called this to wish you a good trip and a bon voyage. When do you leave?
I leave on, let me see here, I believe August 2nd. I think that's right, August 2nd.
Okay. Well, maybe I can call you again from Helsinki after I've been to the Winter Palace and so forth and give you another picture.
Please do, and I'm certainly glad you called.
Thank you very much, Art.
Thank you, my friend. And, ask and ye shall receive. I'm hearing from the very area that I'm about to go to. Isn't that cool? All right. We're going to break here at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
All I thought you'd given me is conscience, I guess. If I
Now listen to this. I love it. What can I tell you? Gets me going. Here's somebody who writes, Dear Art, could you please tell us why you like the song Flowers on the Wall? I don't know. He goes on, somehow I can visualize you laying awake in a motel along I-40 in Amarillo, counting flowers on the wall and agonizing about the lost love of a beautiful Texas girl. If it makes you feel any better, I've been there and done that, Motel 6, Amarillo. Her name was Cheryl. I figured there were about 40 flowers per square foot on the wall. That's Greg in Oklahoma City. Greg, yes, I do have an answer for you, Greg. I like it. No, I don't have an answer. I really don't. It just sort of expresses my feeling of life somehow. And, by the way, I have been there and done that. And, They were twins. Their names were Linda and Glenda in Amarillo. Linda and Glenda. There's another secret from my past.
I keep hearing you're concerned about my happiness.
I have no idea why I like that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Tucson.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering why you don't have or don't ask Major Danes to take a look under the Sphinx for you.
Well, because I didn't think of it when I had him on.
Oh, really?
But I will do that.
How about maybe taking the course yourself and finding out when Art's parts were originally made?
Well, because Major Danes are, originally made.
Yeah, and who actually made them and just hang out when the guy was doing it.
It's a good point. I would like to take a remote viewing course, actually, and I may do that.
Because that would be pretty cool to see when it was designed and...
Yep.
It's first testing and everything?
Well, we have more testing to do, crystalline structure testing, and then some high-voltage Tesla testing that is just going to be incredible. So we're being led down a very interesting path.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to hear more about what's under the mountains in Santa Fe.
For that, we will have Courtney back.
That'd be great.
All right, thank you. Courtney Brown was... absolutely riveting, no question about it. And I took great care in the original broadcast to build the basis for what was coming. And as you probably heard, I kept steering Courtney away from releasing the information that I knew was coming too soon, because it would not have been in the proper context or received well without an understanding of how he did what he did. So I laid a lot of groundwork. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Wow. Got you.
Wow. Yes, you did.
Amazing.
Where are you?
I'm in Olympia, Washington.
Okay.
I think your show is great. I really liked it. Courtney Brown interview on Friday.
Yes, that was good stuff.
There was a book written by Brad Steiger in 1965.
There's another guy I really like. I've had Brad on the air, and you will hear him while I'm on vacation.
great. Courtney Brown, Brad Steiger, and Hoagland are I can listen to those guys all day.
Well, Hoagland, Friday night, Saturday morning.
Great. Brad Steiger wrote a book
about
that was called In My Soul I Am Free.
Really?
It dealt with soul travel, which appears very remarkable to this remote viewing. I guess they're just similar terms.
They are, and it tracks to Robert Monroe, who I also got to interview. And coming up this week on Dreamland, this next Sunday, is going to be Dr. Michael Newton, author of Journey of Souls.
Yes.
So you're not going to want to miss that.
Oh, yeah. I've got the book.
Okay, there you go. Is it a good book?
I just bought it, but my wife's read it and said it's really good.
All right.
But I personally have had, you know, several experiences with this. I mean, I got started with that in my Soul I Am Free book, and have been doing this for over 20 years, and have had many experiences myself. And
well, maybe if I had only read that and perhaps taken some of these courses, I wouldn't have to be taking TWA to Scandinavia. I'd just, you know, zip up.
I don't know. I think there's.
I meant to say zip over. Zipping up is something
yeah.
else.
Yeah, but you know what you kind of keyed in. And on his talk was about morals or ethics of people doing, getting into this. And
it's a very important question.
Yeah, and it seemed clear to me that he was unaware of something that is a foundation of you know, anything that deals with the matter, energy, time, and space, you know. And I guess in physics they call it action, reaction, or...
Right.
What you do, so shall you reap, or in Eastern philosophy, karma.
Karma.
You know, whatever you do, come
or
back.
In the 60s, vibes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all the same thing.
But, yeah, whatever you do comes back to you, and if you misuse something, if you go out there and abuse something...
It's going to get you.
Everything has its equal and opposite reaction.
That's true.
And the illusion is time. The illusion is we don't see the equal... You know, like people think that... somebody who gets away with murder got away with it. Well, they don't. It's because the illusion of time is we don't see the reaction immediately, and therefore we assume that you can do things and not have to pay for them. But somewhere down the road, all of a sudden, something happens to somebody out of the blue, so to speak, and there it is, you know.
So we should be all watching for O.J. Simpson to fall down a flight of stairs.
Well, quite possibly we might see something in this lifetime with O.J., but it doesn't have to be a single lifetime, you know.
Watching him on the golf course is a little frustrating. So this will just have to depend on ultimate karma. All right, I've got to run, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call, and you take care, and we will be back. Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Hi.
Oh, right on. How you doing, Art?
Okay, sir.
Hey, is that your website?
Checking yes.
out those arch parts?
Yes, sir.
And that's pretty cool. I have an interest in that lifting body technology they're talking about.
That would appear to be the direction we're headed.
Yeah, the technology I was interested in is called a charge particle separation.
Right.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Yeah. And as far as manufacturing capabilities,
yes,
you're not going to get a lot of them talking about it, but I've done some research, and I believe the process they have used, the metals involved are used, was called superplasticity in alloys.
Right.
And the forefront of that area is a Mr. William Johnson from England. And he's written extensively over the years of manufacturing alloys and stuff.
There were a few patents that apparently were received and papers published in the late 70s with regard to bismuth magnesium.
Yeah.
And then everything went silent, and you can't find anything since. So something obviously was discovered and went down and dirty and dark some years ago. So we don't know what we've got on our hands. We will continue to test. Did you hear the report we did tonight?
Yes, it was very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. A colleague and me were discussing this, and you know, I've been focusing on those three metals, and zinc seemed to be a pivoting point for me that led me to superplasticity. I was looking at sputtering and PM, powder metallurgical, where they powderize the metal, and then they charge it and spray it through an atomizer.
Right.
Hit it with a plasma.
Right.
And basically like paint metal.
It is very much like that. It is a fascinating technology. Thank you. fascinating how it is done, and that gentleman obviously is following it closely. We are obviously on to something here, folks. What we have is no common part from any common source. What we have is anomalous, weird. Nobody's made it. Nobody knows how to make it. Nobody understands what it would be for, and it is now clearly leading in a direction. Well, as a matter of fact, Richard Hoagland is going to have quite a bit to say about Art's Parts this coming Friday night, Saturday morning. You're not going to want to miss that. It is weird to be in receipt of such materials. That's all I can tell you. It is also pain in the butt if you want to know the truth. In other words, not only is it expensive and difficult and worrisome, but it's a trail that you cannot not follow. So you, as Linda would tell you and has, you just have to keep going forward. And that is what we are doing to wherever it's going to lead. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Betty from Overland Park, Kansas. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. I just wanted to say thumbs up to you. I've listened to you all night. I've been trying to get through all night.
Well, you finally made it.
I finally did. Probably the last call. I'm an XTWA employee.
Oh, you
just
are?
Just retired last year. I don't know how many employees have called in. But
I talked to a TWA pilot last week. One who flew with a pilot who died in the crash.
Mm-hmm. Well, many of my friends were lost there, too. So there were a lot of TWA employees on that flight. But, you know, just to stay with it, Art, I think it's wonderful because you're probably just as safe as you would be anywhere else.
No question about it.
I mean, seriously, it's becoming, I mean, even domestic flights. There have been three the last week that have had to pull back. I don't know if you're aware of that. American Airlines today had to pull back to Kansas City a half an hour out.
Really?
They had a cabin fire.
TWA lost an engine going into St. Louis yesterday,
they did,
too.
And United also had to back up and make an emergency landing in Kansas City last week. So Kansas City has been very important this week.
Of these things are happening now. And I'm flying 10 days from now.
I know.
That's the way I'm trying to look at this.
Well, look,
and
at
And I also, by the way, have a tremendous amount of confidence in TWA.
You should.
I do. And,
I fly
and for...
today. I fly. I mean, I have flown in Flight 800 many times.
Really?
Yes, I have. And I have probably flown in that 747. TWA is rated number one as far as maintenance on their aircraft.
That's what I've heard, yep.
This is what scares me.
I don't think there was anything wrong with the maintenance at all.
Oh, I don't. I mean,
this thing was blown out of the sky, either by a bomb or by a missile.
You know, on our news, I think it was the 4 o'clock news.
Yes.
They were saying that a boat rental place, have you heard that? On right in the bay there, rented a boat to two men.
Oh.
They rented the boat. These two men rented the boat who were kind of suspicious. And they returned the boat later at night and never collected their $66 deposit.
Oh, my.
So that's kind of interesting, too. You know, if there was anything like this, that they are also checking that one out. But that was on the news here in Kansas City.
Well, this whole thing is beginning to get very weird. The reporting on it is beginning to get very weird,
mm-hmm.
And it all feels wrong right now to me. The black boxes, for example, they were pinging. They had brand new batteries.
That's right.
They should still be pinging.
Still should be pinging.
And I would say one of the major reasons they might not be is because they might not be there anymore.
They might not be there anymore, Art, or they may be very, very now sinking down into the muck.
That's true.
To where they can't hear it.
Yep, it's true.
And that's very true. And also, you know, I hate to say it, but there are so many bodies stuck in there that they could also be corrupting it. It's horrible. I mean, it's the most. I have been through two airline accidents in my career. I worked for United before that. And, you know, 21 years with one airline and 10 with another. And you just think, you know, you're airline people, and we're a very
yep.
close family.
I know.
But it's a horrible thing. I've been through two of them, and it's just... Without a doubt. I mean, there's not an employee smiling this week, trust me.
No, there really isn't.
We are a family. More so, I think, than most businesses are. They really are. I mean, they all kind of stick together. But I just admire the fact that you're still sticking with us and keep it up, Art.
Depend on, I'm really looking forward to the 777 coming back.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be wonderful.
uh-huh. Thank
I
you.
I like the 67.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I took that nonstop from St. Louis to Frankfurt. a few years back, and that's a really smooth flight. You can hear a pin drop in first class. So
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks,
well,
dear.
Well, you have a wonderful trip, Art. Nice to talk to you.
Take care. I really am looking forward to it. The 777 looks like a really interesting aircraft. So that'll be fun coming back on. And 747s are amazing aircraft, period. And I do. I have as much trust in TWA as you can imagine. And I wouldn't dream of changing it to any other airline. So that tells you about how I feel about TWA. And United is also right up there. Both of them, in my opinion, superior airlines with first-class maintenance. And there was not a damn thing wrong. I'll bet you, in the end, we'll find there was nothing wrong with TWA's maintenance. There was nothing wrong with that aircraft. Except that it got blown out of the sky. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay. Let's get right to it. Okay. I called you about 6 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to tell you about this thing that they had on Discovery Channel where they were showing the promos and they showed the landing of the moon and I could see the two domes. The very next day, they pulled that commercial off. Okay.
Well, they must have heard you.
They heard us.
Yeah.
Okay, on the 12 monkeys?
Yes.
Okay. At the very end scene.
Now, don't you dare.
I'm not going to give it away.
I know. I know, at the end scene. But you see, there are people who imagine that means that they would change it, that it never happened. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Because if you go in earlier into the movie, the whole idea was to be able to go back and get something that would prevent a mutation. It wasn't going to prevent the occurrence of the death of those people.
Right.
It was going to, they were going to be able to fix it so that in the latter years they could come back up to the surface of the Earth.
Right, but that's why that song by Satchmo.
Oh, I know.
Is perfect for what that lady says.
I know.
It just fits in so perfect because.
I know.
Okay, yeah. Okay. The one thing, if I could have my knowledge and what I know 20 years ago.
20 years, yes.
Definitely stay away from drugs and totally give my life to Christ.
Well, there you are.
There you go.
Thank you for the call, sir.
God bless America.
Take care. Indeed. For we need help from above at the moment, don't we? Imagine terrorism just for the sake of it. Not with any motive in mind, not trying to affect a nation's policy, perverted as those ideas are with respect to the killing of innocent people. Not even for that, just to terrorize people. Well, I'll tell you something, they're a bunch of miserable, cowardly bastards, and they're not going to stop me from flying, and if they blow me up, it shouldn't stop you from flying. So that's just the way it is. It's an ill of the modern world, and we shouldn't let them win. And the only way they do win is if people become afraid, because that apparently is their goal. Well, I'm not going to be part of it.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 22nd, 1996.
This concerns Manson. Dear Art, I just heard you say that you believe Charles Manson to be an evil person based on television appearances you have seen. Try to consider that all televised interviews with Manson are carefully edited to make him appear to be crazy, evil, and so forth. I've spoken to Manson one-on-one for hours and hours and found him to be friendly, interesting, and respectful. Vincent T. Bugliosi has a vested interest in supporting the idea that Manson is a man to be feared. He has a book to sell, Helter Skelter. Truth is, Manson is a human being, like any other. And the false idea of him as a crazy evil monster is nothing more than a myth. This myth was largely created by Vincent Bugliosi and is perpetrated by the media, yourself included. You and Bugliosi have too much to lose by allowing the actual truth regarding Manson to be known. If the truth about him and his actual lack of participation in the infamous Tate LaBianca murders became public knowledge, Bugliosi and the countless media vampires would lose the best thing they've ever had. That'd be a symbol of evil. And you would be left unable to spend an evening of glad handing with Vincent Bugliosi. I expected more out of you than to dismiss Manson as an evil person based on what you've seen on TV. You should know that most of what's put on TV is a lie, pure and simple. The fact that this eludes you reveals your own gullibility. From James in Seattle. You're right, James. There are some things that even the editing floor of 60 Minutes cannot disguise, and that is the evil nature of Charles Manson. So I think if you think he's a warm and fuzzy human being, James, you are the one who has lost it. You are the one who is gullible. And I wouldn't know about your hours and hours of chatting with Charlie, but if you think this guy is a warm, fuzzy human being, then I don't know about you, James. And what he was able to project through that camera came through quite clearly. It's nothing that was achieved on the editing room floor of 60 Minutes. Don't you believe it? I swear, some people, unbelievable, just unbelievable. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I heard you on the air talking about Charles Manson.
Yep.
I have some info for you.
Do you think he's a warm, fuzzy human being?
No, not at all.
Do you hear the facts I just read?
Yes, sir, I did.
Incredible.
But I do have this to say about him, that, well, my father is now 61, and when he was a teenager, he was in a school for boys.
Mm-hmm.
And because he joined the Arkansas National Guard,
mm-hmm,
and got away with it for about 8 months before he got caught. And they got caught and went to Gibraltar School for Boys. Well, when he was there, I've heard this story several times from my dad. One of his fellow, inmates was Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
And as a teenager, he always had a dictionary. And he was reading that book from, I guess, front to back. He was always studying the dictionary.
Yes. What is the point?
Well, the point is this, that he's, although he may be evil incarnate, he's not to be dismissed as how can I put this?
Evil incarnate. look, let's try the Limbaugh test on this, huh? Would you leave your daughter or son in a Motel 6 with Charlie Manson?
Not at all.
Have a good morning. On the first time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Felix.
Hello.
Hi, I'm in Westchester, California.
Okay.
I'm predicting about a 7.0 earthquake in the next 10 days.
Where?
Here in Southern California. I just have a premonition. And
really? You just had the premonition?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say you could be correct. You know, you could always be correct. I mean, California has earthquakes. 7.0.
Well, this would probably be on the Whittier Inglewood Fault.
Yeah, that'd be a rough one, all right.
Yeah.
That'd be a rough one. All right, my friend, thank you. We will register your prediction. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
When you get Major Dames on again, or
yes,
that other gentleman that does the remote viewing,
yes,
ask them how you get out of the real-time timeline and get so you can look back or forward. I can do it in real time sometimes.
Well, apparently it's a deeper, you know, it's a thing you've got to be taught, but I will ask about that. The image is even fainter yet, so I don't know the discipline in doing that, but it would be good to ask.
Okay, because if I choose the target real careful,
mm-hmm,
I can make the the jump, but I haven't been able to figure out how to do it outside of real time.
All right, good enough.
Thank you.
I will ask. Thank you. Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Morning, Art.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine.
This is Dan from Gardena.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You were talking about the Levitron. Are you familiar with the process of, excuse me, of how it works?
Vaguely so, yes. I read all their literature. Right. And
with all the little magnets?
Yes.
Very strong?
Yes.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Have you seen it operate, sir?
Right, yeah.
It is amazing.
Fantastic. But in fact, I tried it a couple of times myself.
Uh-huh.
I don't have one. But
do you know what I've heard? I've heard that if you put little, you know, on the magnets that that actually levitate,
mm-hmm.
if you put a little tiny anything on the edges of it evenly, kind of like a balanced tire, and,
right.
and you have a fan or a very slight breeze running,
yeah.
you can keep it levitating for days.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I just, you know, my postulation about it, believe on, it's based on the theory of chaos, you know.
No, I didn't.
Your word.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, and if you can align all those magnets on both sides, you know, to where you have either a positive or a negative, you know,
right.
that you will levitate it. And I've done it a couple of times, but it's very difficult.
It is. It is the eeriest thing in the whole world, folks, to sit there and watch this thing for minutes on end. I mean, without a fan. Just for minutes on end, sitting there in midair, spinning about, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches above the base, just sitting in midair. You can pass your hand under it. You can pass anything under it you want. It's sitting there levitating. It is magnetic levitation. We're advertising that on the weekend. For those of you that want the Levitron, one of these nights I had to run, and well, I guess I can't just run ants. But you listen on Dreamland. We're advertising Levitron on Dreamland. It's amazing. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Turn your radio off.
It's off.
That's good. Where are you?
L.A.
L.A. Well, good.
Is this Art?
Sure.
Okay.
I told you.
My father and I are having a real disagreement, and I'm so tactful that I don't tell him how I disagree. He flies a great deal. He was in New York, and he was playing concerts on the beach in Long Island for 5 days, and he had a lot of time, he and the artist, to think about it. He said that the flight left late, 800, and that it went into LL, had a flight that was supposed to leave at the time when it was leaving.
It left 1 hour late. That's right.
So my dad says that they thought it was an LL.
It was 1 hour delayed, I guess. So
is that possible? Why didn't we hear this in the media? That the natural target would have been an LL, not a TWA. Okay, but here's what I don't tell my father, because I don't want it. My father's having so much fun, and he wrote the New York Times, his theory, is that when I was watching the day after it happened,
mm-hmm.
in the morning, Anna Garcia, she's the news lady from ABC.
Right.
She had a lot of clips. She was over there, and she had clips with witnesses, one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth witness she had was a fat guy of about 60. And he said, everyone else had said they saw the flash and then the fireball, or that they'd heard the noise and turned around and seen the fireball.
Right.
He said he was watching it fly. This is ABC, middle mm-hmm. of the day. This is a witness. And that it was flying along, and then it fell at a 45-degree angle. Then there was the white flash, and then the orange fireball. And I was, oh, my goodness. Well, that kind of proves it was a TWA situation. See, I'm way different from what my father says. And then they never had that on ABC again. That witness never came back. I watched all day, 6 p.m., 11 p.m., and I watched Nightline. And we never saw that fat guy.
Well, there's a lot of things that have been on one time, according to people like yourself, and then never back again. So I don't know what to make of that. And I'm beginning to wonder what to make of all of this period, so...
Yeah, but other people did mention the LL thing, that it was leaving in the slot. It left late.
I understand.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. Back to it we go. Oh, by the way. As you know, I don't do TV. I don't do television, but I am going to do a newspaper interview today. The RJ Review Journal is coming out to interview me today. And I sort of enjoy that. I enjoy newspaper interviews. I don't know why. And I don't know why I don't like TV. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So I do an occasional newspaper interview, and they are the local newspaper here. So that will be coming out. You all can watch for that, those of you who get the Las Vegas Review Journal. They're coming. It's been, what, about a year, year and a half, something like that? So they will come back out and re-interview me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Earth. This is Adam calling from Illinois.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you this morning?
Fine.
This is, I'm also as Adam Warren on the Internet.
Ah.
Just like to say hello to all my friends out there. I've got a question. I had a few questions here, but I'm going to narrow it down to one because of time. I've been asked this question probably about three or four times in the past week, but you have a picture, or you have pictures from the book of Charlie and Doc, right?
I do, yes.
Would it be possible for you to maybe scan them in and email him the key so he could put them up on the webpage?
It would be possible, but I'm not going to do it.
No?
No. They're in my book. You want to see them? Buy my book.
Actually, I have your book. I'm just...
Well, then you've seen them.
Well, for the people that haven't seen them, though.
I see.
You know, because there have been people that are like, well, I want to see what Charlie and Doc look like.
I know. That's one secret I hold, so people will be forced to buy my book.
You don't hurt.
All right, okay. Sir.
Well, thank you.
Take care. Now, everybody knows about the IRC chat channels and the undernet. But what you guys don't know is where I spend all my time. I spend all my time on the side net, the new side net. Any of you know about that? Probably not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Art. Love your show.
Thank you.
First time I've finally gotten through to you. Actually, this is Nathan in Bristol, and we're off the air with you right now. WXBQ is, but
Bristol,
I'll give you a call.
Bristol, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. Got an awesome story for you.
All right.
Okay, back where I'm from in Dickinson County, Virginia, there's a lot of rural roads, lots of curves and stuff. Mm. My wife's nephew, 5 years old at the time, lived with his family right in a big old curve back at the foot of the hillside, and a lot of coal was hauled out of there in 10-wheel and 18-wheel trucks. Okay, the child had been... waking up in the middle of the night, coming to his parents and telling them there was a little girl in his bedroom. And they kept saying, oh, don't worry about it, you know, there's nobody in there, you're just having a dream or whatnot. And countless times he kept doing this. They never heeded to it, never checked, just, you know, telling me he was having a nightmare and going back to bed.
Yes, sir.
Okay, one morning, about 6 a.m., they hauled coal quite early that morning. He come into his mother's bedroom and said, the little girl told me I better come sleep with you. And she said, now, Cody, go on back to bed. Go on back to bed. Everything's going to be all right. And he wouldn't go back to bed. He refused to. So she let him sleep with her. And swear to God, 10 minutes later, a coal truck skipped off the curve, crashed right through his bedroom, and did about $10,000 worth of damage to their house.
Oh, my God. I believe these things do occur. There's no question about it. It's precognition. It's a guardian angel. It's whatever you want to call it, but it does happen.
Yes,
and anybody who denies it is just flat out wrong.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your call, sir. Bristol, Tennessee. These warnings do occur. Some people will say it was my guardian angel. Some will simply call it precognition or a psychic insight, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. These things do occur. It has happened to me one time. It's all. My whole life, once. But there was no question about it. It wasn't an iffy situation. I knew. I saw an event, and I knew an event was coming before it occurred. In fact, it was like the only way I can describe the feeling was it was like waves washing over me. Irresistible, strong, and they continued to get stronger until the event occurred. I mean waves just washing over me, one after another, telling me this was about to happen. I've told this story a few times on the air. One of these days, I'll tell it again. But these things do occur. You put whatever name on them you want. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hello.
Josh in Oregon.
Hi, Josh.
I had just a few quick points. The first being on your comments about Charles Manson being evil.
Manson.
Yes. The Funk and Wagnalls Dictionary defines evil as causing injury or any other undesirable result.
That fits.
And I thought it did, so thought I'd give you a call.
But there are also degrees of evil.
Yes.
And on a scale of 10, in my estimation, I don't care what this guy says, he's a 10.
At least.
Yeah.
And the second point I had was on your question, if you knew
20 years ago what you know now.
Right. It was two major things come out would be watch how much you spend. It doesn't seem to cost so much when you're using plastic.
Yeah, that's a truth.
And never start smoking.
Yeah, that's also a truth.
It's a habit really hard to give up.
I know. Boy, do I know. Thank you. And I have not yet given up. I've tried. Now, I'm not going to be able to smoke on the airplane. TWA is not going to let me smoke, coming or going. Actually, that'd be going or coming. So, it's the patch for the kid. There's one good thing about the patch, though. It makes me sleepy. And it works. Doesn't make me... I don't fully not want a cigarette, but it does work, sort of. But I am not looking forward to all those hours patched up, so to speak. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I just have a vote to put in that you should take up remote viewing.
You too, huh?
Most definitely. I think you would be a great study and would report back to us the truth.
Well, I would do that. I'd have to think about it. It's very intriguing. And it's like one of those things I would like to try, but I'd need to think about whether I really want to know the things I would see.
I'd put up with reruns for 2 weeks while you did it.
Oh, you would, huh? Well, you're about to put up with reruns for 2 weeks anyway.
It'll be fun.
All right, take care. Yes, actually it will, and they are not going to be just any reruns, but just wait till you see what the network has for you. It's going to be a delightful 2 weeks, actually. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Vince in Medford.
Where?
Medford.
Yes, Vince.
Is Art Bell? Okay, yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
else here, Vince.
I just, on the subject of Charles Manson.
Yes.
I used to have a record album that came out like a couple of years before the murders of Charles Manson playing acoustic guitar with these songs. I just wonder if anyone heard of that. I've been looking for the album again because I guess he put out an album.
What would that be? Charlie's angelic tuneful renditions, I guess, huh? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, this is Russ in San Jose, California.
Hi there, how you doing?
Real good.
How's the Bay Area this morning?
Well, it finally cooled off and got back down to its third day of, you know, it gets hot for a couple days in the Bay Area. Winds and the fog comes in.
It's actually been very unusually hot in the Bay Area.
Yeah, we broke a few records, but we can always count on it cooling down before too long.
Well, listen, I hate to say this, but you have come on at the end moment. The program is about over.
Oh, boy. I just wanted to say that the other night when Courtney Brown mentioned about the Russian psychics being... picked up by somebody?
Oh, that was something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Listen, sir. Listen to me.
Okay.
The show's over. You get the honor.
All right. Good night, America.
That's it, folks. From the high desert and all over, good night, America.